Here at the Ruckus Camp, and we're speaking with...
We're speaking with Agustin from Mexico, from an organization called Fuerza Ambiental, which is a public interest environmental law center.
And also...
Randall Gingrich. I'm with the Sierra Madre Alliance, based in Chihuahua, Mexico as well.
And what exactly are the projects and the issues and the concerns that you folks are working with?
The Sierra Madre is a mountain range along the spine of western Mexico that extends from the U.S. border about 1,200 miles down to the interior, down towards Guadalajara. And it's a region that has been 99% affected by logging, over 99% affected by logging, and there are several nucleuses of indigenous people. The most commonly known are the Tarahumara Indians in the Copper Canyon region. And we work with Tarahumara and Tepehuan people in defense of their forest, developing alternatives for the communities, and defending their lands. Land tenure, land ownership problems, conflicts between different communal landholders are very intense conflicts throughout Mexico, and we're trying to find legal and peaceful resolutions to peoples who have never been able to rise above conflicts that have existed for sometimes 30 or 40 years.
What has been the impact of the drug lord scenario down there in the Copper Canyon?
Well, it's a multiple impacts, and I think you kind of have to look at the cumulative impacts of the drug economy. Marijuana and opium are grown in the region, and also the logging. And sometimes there's relationships between money laundered from the drug economy, which also includes transshipment of cocaine through the region in Chihuahua. Some of the major drug traffickers, a great number of them actually have come out of the Sierra Madre. And they run cartels in Tijuana and in Juarez and other parts of Mexico. But so you have an infusion of drug money into the logging industry. The cultural impacts are tremendous. I mentioned land tenure conflicts earlier. Oftentimes the people that are trying to take lands and take over them are people who have a lot of drug money and arms and guns and influences because of circles and gangs of drug traffickers. So you have a propagation of violence, control of land, natural resources. All of it has a tremendous impact on both Mexican and indigenous cultures. And, of course, the indigenous people are the ones get hardest affected.
And how did you fit into the picture?
Well, Fuerza Ambiental brings environmental legal aid to disfranchised communities in Chihuahua. In this particular case, Fuerza Ambiental is helping a lot of indigenous communities to protect their forest, their natural resources, to fight against the illegal logging, to empower them with knowledge of these rights that they have. And in Mexico, all these cases, you have to go through administrative procedures. The locus standi to address these issues in court is very, very small.
What has been, if you were to generalize or give us a little picture about the process mm-hmm. of how it comes from the folks that are being subjected to these environmental disasters and the cultural crushing of, and then how it moves into actually the legal case or the suit or the administrative thing and then mm-hmm. the resolution, so we can get a little bit of a picture of how that whole process might work?
Sure. Well, first of all, Agustin has been a real force in the region since he arrived about 3 years ago, and he's filed over 1,500 claims. And the origin of those claims of, I believe, practically all of the 1,500 claims, because that's his mission, comes from communities requesting help. And through their assemblies, through human rights networks, Sierra Madre Alliance and Fuerza Ambiental are part of a coalition of indigenous pueblos and other nonprofit groups, including a women's craft cooperative that are also involved in other quality of life issues in their community, and a broader coalition called COSIMA that actually conducts workshops in the communities, does very intensive diagnostics and plannings with the community leaders, prepares indigenous promoters. to address the priority issues in their communities, and the environment and defense of the land are two of the most important issues facing these areas.
So once the community brings their concerns to you, how do you proceed from there, and then what have been some of the results?
Well, when the community comes, we explain them what are the rights that they have and what kind of strategy we can launch to address the issues they come with. This is like a first step. Then the community decides what is good for them, and we start working with them in several ways.
And what has been some of the results from that?
Some of the results have been, for instance, to put on the national agenda the issue of the illegal logging, to work also or to strengthen the issue of the indigenous rights all over Mexico, because curiously in Chihuahua, which is north of Mexico, is kind of south. It's kind of the forgotten south. Specific results, the authorities have laid penalties against the illegal loggers for about $60,000. In some cases, they have stopped some of them. But meaningful, the communities know that they have the rights, that they can go to these procedures to demand enforcement of the law. I mean, I think this is the main success.
Where is the product, the logs, where are they all going?
That's a good question. 10 years ago, about 60% of the logs were going to international paper market, paper processed in Chihuahua. But I would say the vast majority are for internal use in Mexico. But the products that you can get out of the forest are changing with time. The pulping operation of the big paper mill in Chihuahua has been closed down, so they're no longer processing logs from the Sierra, and that was a huge part of the market. And, of course, the big old-growth trees are mostly gone. Over 99.5% of the old growth is gone, and which has actually put us in very bitter and difficult battles for what's remaining. The other products, so you're getting now today products that are from small diameter trees. You're getting wooden boxes and pallets, and you know some boards, of course, still some plywood, and you know they have the cumulative wood products like turpentine and pitch and things from the pines, but the whole value of the forest, the value of the economy, the importance of the economy in the region is really going down. And in a lot of areas, you're finding actually the drug economy has produced broader benefits than the logging economy has. And then in other areas where there's been more government investments, you see even more diversification going. Things like government jobs, small businesses, you know, starting even tourist businesses starting to happen, and you know, so people, they might have sawmill jobs, but they're starting to diversify into other areas, and then and a lot of people in those areas where there's alternative jobs leave the drug planning behind, because it's a very risky business from every aspect.
40% of all the national production in Mexico of timber came from illegal sources. It means illegal logging. And we're talking about around 3 million of cubic meters of timber. This data is from the Mexican EPA.
40% is a pretty large number to be illegal. That's a lot of board feet. They must be pretty large corporations that are doing, if they're doing that much logging, or is it all coming from really small operations?
It's mostly from small operations, small locally owned operations, although there are a few big timber contractors in Durango and Chihuahua that are dominant in the industry, and you know, they tend to represent the industry and even the small producers, because a lot of the, you know, the industry is divided. You have the people that go out and cut the trees and transport the trees in, and then you have the bigger, say, plywood factories and things that process larger volumes. So it's very typical of the structure of Mexican government, where you have a lot of small producers tied by a corporative structure to some big nucleus. And it used to be all governmental through peristatal firms. And when those state-sponsored mega corporations were formed in the 70s, that completely destroyed community forestry, you know, where the benefits went into the communities, because then it just got siphoned off into the whole larger Mexican economy, into fewer and fewer hands. And but in the past, you know, 10 years, those big firms have been broken up into smaller firms, but the corporatist structure is still there. Tremendous issues at stake, and they're extremely costly. Fire is one of the big ones. These are fire-driven ecosystems, and frequent low-intensity fires are essential. And the reason that's so important to the future, even though logging economy has declined somewhat in importance, it's still critical. But what we're seeing is the entire viability of the watersheds are being threatened. And these are critical agricultural watersheds that irrigate about 7 million acres of land in the U.S. and Mexico. The U.S. from the Rio Grande in Mexico, in Sinaloa, Sonora, Chihuahua, and probably Coahuila as well. And because the fire regimes have changed, you're seeing more and more catastrophic fires. And little by little, you're going to see increasing desertification. And you can see it plainly on satellite images and comparison with old aerial photos. You can see deforestation, one, from the increase in subsistence agriculture and clearing. But also, over time, it's inevitable that there's going to be more and more desertification as the fire regime improves. So it's absolutely essential to protect and restore these watersheds for the quality of life in the high altitudes of the Sierra, but also for the irrigation water downstream, and of course for protection of biodiversity and the indigenous cultures that live there. I mean, there's no question that investment is warranted, but the question is, what kind of investment? How are we going to spend our money? There's when we went there 10 years ago, there was very little government aid reaching this region. There were people starving, periodic droughts that were coming with greater frequency, you know, tied to the deforestation, tied to the greenhouse effect. But the money that was coming into the region was not being well spent. It takes a lot of investment, and this is where they need help. It takes a lot of investment in community planning. Because there are a lot of communities, and it's communal lands. It's called the ejido system, is a communal land system, and that's 70% of the forest land or more is in this system. And so they need the opportunity and space and processes to be able to reflect on what their problems are, you know, prioritize their problems and set agendas towards protection and restoration of their forests. But they need every aspect of human development as well. The school systems in the Sierra are very difficult. Thousands of indigenous children have no access to schools. Healthcare and other governmental services are non-existent for vast areas in the region. Of course, the joblessness. A tiny fraction of international aid goes into this region. Of all the aid that goes into Mexico, 99% goes into either the immediate border region or even more into areas like Chiapas and southern and central Mexico. So one of the critical points of helping this region is to develop strong non-governmental infrastructure. I mean, help the communities themselves organize themselves into independent indigenous assemblies with the process to be able to set their plans for the future. And also, what we've developed successfully has been a non-government support infrastructure, and our next stage is to help them develop the indigenous assemblies. But a lot of investment needs to be made into organizational development in the communities and then developing regional networks.
And also, support is needed to continue carry on the legal cases, to continue working on behalf of these communities through a pacific, nonviolent, and legal way.
There's certainly a lot to learn from any region that has really taken on these issues in a serious way, and certainly there's nucleuses of places that have done this kind of reflection and process in the States, but it's certainly a global issue. Where we've gone is we've gone farther to the South to recruit talent and ideas from projects that actually function, and there are far more examples of projects that don't function. In the history of community development in rural areas in Mexico and Latin America, but we're seeing more and more things that work. And what we try and do is find the things that work and bring them up to where we are in the region. And that North-South exchange is essential.
If folks want to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
I have a website at SierraMadreAlliance.org. It's a flat site, and we're working to in the next few weeks to build a really good website. And we're based in Chihuahua, Mexico, but I think over the web is a good way. And my email is Sierra, SierraMA at infocel.net.mx, and infocel is infocel. .net.mx, and I work with this whole coalition of organizations down there, so I can channel people to Augustine or to another organization that's more appropriate to the interests or way that people think that they could support the movement.
And also you can contact all these projects through Fuerza Ambiental webpage.
It's Fuerza Ambiental, which means environmental force. Fuerza is FUERZAAMBIENTAL.org.
All right. Okay, is there anything else that you folks would like to share with the people out there?
I think the most really important aspect is that people come down and visit and get to know the region. There's a famous Copper Canyon Railroad. I mean, one day we hope to be tied in with an ecotourism network, a small community-owned tourism businesses. And if you do come to Chihuahua, please look us up, because what you see in a tourist zone is not reflective of what goes on 20 or 30 or 50 miles away from that area. So it's good for people to travel to the region, visit, but visit with your eyes and hearts open.
All right, and once again, I'm speaking with
Randall Gingrich. I'm the director of Sierra Madre Alliance.
Agustin Bravo. I'm the director of Fuerza Ambiental.
All right, well, thanks for speaking with us.